Good morning. And isn't it amazing that Jesus does make new wine, right? That he makes the old new and he restores all things. Amen? Amen. If you would, go ahead and open up your copy of the Word with me to Mark chapter 6. That's where we're going to be this morning, is Mark chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I want to kind of ask you a question. How many of you have ever wanted something like so bad that you spent like all your time researching it, you read all about it, you did whatever you need to do to study it because you wanted it? Like essentially, like you wanted something so bad you became obsessed with it. Anyone of y'all like that? So good. See, I ask these questions so I can learn more about y'all and realize that I'm not the only one that has these issues, right? So thank you for making me feel more comfortable. But I become obsessive about some things. Several years ago, I became obsessed with kayaks. I love kayaks. I love to get out on a lake on a kayak. I love to fish from a kayak. And I mean, I became obsessed. I started reading all about them. I spent all my free time researching them, looking at them, looking at different costs, all this stuff. I looked at how to modify them, to change them, to be how I wanted them to be, all these different things. And I would read about different kinds of kayaks. I'd read about sit-in kayaks, sit-on-top kayaks, whitewater kayaks, you know, ocean lake kayaks, all those different kinds of kayaks. I would watch people, you know, fishing from them on YouTube. I would spend time learning how to do it, how to set them up for fishing, how to transport them in my truck or on my Suburban. I was taking time, right, all the time I could to learn as much as I could about kayaks because I was obsessed with it. And what ended up happening was I would go to Jamie and be like, hey, Jamie, you got to check out this kayak. You got to look at this. You can do this with it, all this stuff. And she'd look at me like, Jason, I don't care. I'm like, thanks, babe. I love you too, you know. And but that's kind of how she would be. And finally, I think she maybe got fed up with me just coming to her and presenting all this information. And I had enough money saved up. She's like, Jason, go ahead and buy your kayak, okay? Buy your kayak if that's what you want to do. And I was like, yes. Okay, and so I ordered my kayak, it came in the mail, and now it sits in my storage shed and doesn't really get out on the lake that much. But here's the deal, right? I became so obsessed with it that it consumed my time. Like, I let it consume me, and I let it consume my conversations. And when I finally got one, right, I was so satisfied with it that I moved on to something else, right? And that's kind of what we do. Right, I know I have issues, but guess what? So do you. So we'll just move on with grace, right? So, but here's the deal. One of our deepest needs, okay, one of our deepest needs and one of our greatest longings is this deep hunger that we have for satisfaction. Right, we long to be satisfied. We all hunger to be satisfied. Right, we want our appetites, whatever they may be for, to be fulfilled. It's why when we're hungry, right, we immediately go after food, right? We search for specific foods, foods that meet our cravings and that fit our cravings. It's why we travel. It's why we shop and buy things, right? It's one of our primary desires as a human being, and the truth is there's nothing inherently wrong with that, right? There's nothing inherently wrong with this hunger or with this desire. We were created to have it. God made us that way. He wired us to have a hunger and a desire to be satisfied. But the problem comes in is in the where or the what or the who that we seek after to fulfill those desires, right? The things that we pursue in order to satisfy our hungers and our longings. That's where there become issues. See, most of the time we seek after our satisfaction in things like our relationships, right? Whether it's a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, a husband-wife relationship, a mom-dad relationship, right? We seek after it in those places. Or we might seek after it in our careers, trying to climb that proverbial ladder or get that next bonus. Or we seek after it in our hobbies, in our accomplishments, or even in our experiences that we have in life. And we search for it in our feelings because of our desire or our belief that we're supposed to feel good all the time. Right? We search for it in our possessions, and we pursue satisfaction in all different kinds of things, in all different areas in our life. And we do this because it's simple. We want to be satisfied, right? We can't deny that in our lives. Almost everything that we do is done in order to fulfill this desire, right? To fulfill our longings. And all of this comes from that fundamental hunger, or our deepest desire, which is our hunger for the Lord, our hunger for Jesus. Jonathan Edwards said it this way. He said, "The enjoyment of God is the only happiness in which our souls can be truly satisfied. Fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, or children, or the company of earthly friends, get this, are but shadows. But enjoyment of God is the substance. All these other things are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are the streams, but God is the fountain. These are but drops, but God is the ocean." Right? And so in other words, God is our deepest desire and our deepest longing. Right? We all long to know God and to be known by God. That's how we were created to be, by Him. And so this morning, what we're going to see here in Mark chapter 6 is that God, through Jesus, fully satisfies this desire when we pursue Him simply because of who He is. And so let's pray and we'll jump into Mark chapter 6. Father, we thank You for the ability to be in this place this morning. Father, to be in Your Word and to learn more about who You are so we can grow in our relationship with You. So God, I pray that this morning that You fill us with Your presence, that You fill us with Your Spirit to hear what You have to say, to hear Your words, and to respond to them. God, we thank You that Your words never return void, and so we pray, Father, that this morning they accomplish their work in each and every one of our hearts. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. All right, so Mark chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 30 this morning. And Chris kind of touched on verse 30 last week. We're going to start there this morning as well. So it says, "The apostles returned to Jesus." So they just went on their missionary journey. Jesus sent them out in pairs of two, and they went out and they healed the sick. They cast out demons. They proclaimed the gospel. They did this incredible missionary work, and they just returned. And they told Jesus about all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. It says, "Now many saw them going, and they recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. And when He went ashore," talking about Jesus, it says, "He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, His disciples came to Him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and into the villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But He answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to Him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And He said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And they had found out, they said, when they found out, they said, 'We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and He said a blessing, and He broke the loaves and He gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And He divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men." Right, this is an incredible story. We've all probably heard this story before multiple times, but what happened here is Jesus, right, just sent His disciples out. They returned from their missionary journey, and they were exhausted, right? They were tired. But immediately when they turned, as Chris said last week, they kind of had a good old old-fashioned testimony time. They told everything that had took place. They shared about the miracles they performed. They shared how they healed the sick, how they cast out the demons, how they preached the gospel to the people. They shared everything. Right? They shared the good, they shared the bad, and they shared the ugly. They shared it all. But they were extremely tired, I would imagine, and extremely exhausted. If you've ever gone on a long trip like that where you've had to put in a lot of work and effort, not only physically and emotionally, but spiritually, it leaves you completely drained. And so that's probably where they were at. And so they returned from this long, hard journey. And as they were sharing these things about their mission trip, more and more people began to surround them and to wrap around them, and they weren't even able to eat. Right? In fact, Mark said that so many people were coming and going that they didn't have the time to leisurely eat. So they were so busy that they had to start skipping meals. Right? And so what Jesus does here in this moment, and I love what Jesus does, is he invites them to get away. Right? He invites them to leave. He invites them to escape to this desolate place that they can go and get some rest. But that's what Jesus does, though, isn't it? Jesus gives us rest. He's a good God like that. Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because that's what he does. See, Jesus sent out his disciples and he empowered them to do the work of the ministry, and in return, he blessed them in their work and he invites them into the promise of rest. And the beautiful thing about this is he does the same for you and for me. Right? Every day that we wake up, every day we have the privilege to live another day, Jesus is sending us out to our neighbors, right? He's sending us out to our coworkers. He's sending us out to our families and to our friends. And he empowers us with the Holy Spirit in our lives to go out and to do the work of the ministry, to share the gospel with the people that we rub shoulders with and that we bump into. That's what Jesus sends us out to do every single day. And just like Jesus blessed the disciples in their work, we can anticipate that he's going to bless us in the work that he calls us to do as well. But not only that, we can also anticipate that he's going to give us rest because he promises us that. Right? We can anticipate it because it's a promise he made. One thing that we know from Jesus sending out the 12, though, and in the work that they did, was that Jesus calls us to work too. Right? There is a time for work and there's a time for rest. Right? We're called to go. We're called to work, and we're called to work hard for the glory of the Lord. Paul said, "Whatever you do, right, do it for the glory of the Lord." So there is a time for work. We need to understand that, but there's also the promise of rest in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's pointing out to us. One of the things he's pointing out to us in this passage. But we also know that there's supposed to be, like I said, this time for rest. Jesus invited the disciples to go together to this desolate place so that they could be alone and so that they could rest a while, right? He invited them onto a vacation for a set amount of time. And here's the kicker. Even when we're supposed to be resting, the thing is we're to be ready for ministry opportunities that present themselves. Check it out. In verse 33, it says this: "They went to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going, and they recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns around the lake, and they got there ahead of him. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." See, Jesus invited his disciples to get away to this desolate place so that they could rest. And as they're going to this place, the people on the shores, they see the boat out there on the land. They probably recognize some of the people on a boat from a distance, or they recognize the sail or whatever the case may be. And what they did is they recognized also where they were going. And so they took off on a foot race, right? They decided, hey, we're going to run and we're going to beat Jesus to where he's going. And they invited everyone that they could to come with them. And they did. They beat Jesus there. They were there waiting for his arrival. Now, can you imagine, like, put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a moment. Can you imagine what they were probably feeling like? Like, they were exhausted. They just got done on this long, hard journey, and Jesus invites them and promises them some rest, and they're pulling up to the shore, and there's over 5,000 people sitting on the side of the shore. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Jesus, no way. Turn this boat around. Come on. split that ocean. Like, get them out of here. Do something, right? Throw some lightning, an earthquake. I don't care what you do, Jesus, get them gone. That's probably what they were thinking. That's probably what they were what was going on in their mind. They see all of these people waiting there for them, and they're just frustrated. That'd be kind of like you getting invited by your employer to go on a vacation on the beach, and you're like, yeah, I'll do that. All paid, you know, all expenses paid. And then you get there, and you realize it's a convention that you're having to work at. Right? They probably felt duped in this moment by Jesus just a little bit. And they were frustrated, as we're going to see here in a moment. But I also want you to look at Jesus' response. Jesus sees the crowds. He sees the multitudes. He sees all the people. And instead of getting angry or getting upset or getting frustrated at them, instead of sending everyone away, Mark tells us that he had compassion on them. Right? Jesus shows them tender mercy. That's what that word compassion means, to have a deep feeling of tender mercy. See, mercy is best defined as entering into the pain and entering into someone's suffering and offering healing from the inside out. That's what mercy is. That's what Jesus did for us when he came into this world. See, he came into the brokenness and he offers healing from the inside out. And so mercy is that. But Jesus also does it tenderly, right? He does it with gentleness and with great care and with great concern. And he saw the people and he noticed that they were lost, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, that they were unable to care for themselves, that they were unable to protect themselves. And he was moved by this, moved to compassion. And so when Moses, when you look back at the Old Testament and kind of some stories back there in Numbers 27, Moses was praying for someone to lead the people. He was praying for his successor. Initially, essentially, he was praying for Joshua, but in Numbers 17, or 27, 15 through 17, Moses said this. He said, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall go lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." And so when Jesus looked at the crowds, right, the 5,000 plus people on the side of the lake, he saw them, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He recognized that. And here's the truth that we need to know about Jesus. Jesus is the great shepherd, amen? Jesus is our shepherd who shows us tender mercy. Jesus is our shepherd who leads us to green pastures. Jesus is our shepherd who lays down his life for us. He's our shepherd who honors his servants, and he's our great shepherd who guides us to springs of living water. Jesus is our great shepherd, and he shows us tender mercy. He meets us right where we're at with his good news, right, with restoration and renewal and a hope for new life, and he meets our greatest need, which is our need for him. And so what Jesus does in this moment is he does what a compassionate Savior would do. He started to teach them. Right? He started to teach everyone about the kingdom of God and about the gospel and the good news that he was going to make all things new. We also know from the Gospel of John that he taught them that he was the bread of life. Right, that he sustains and he provides and he satisfies all things. He taught them many things. And what he was doing is he was shepherding them. Right, he was leading them. And the disciples, they didn't really like this that much. Right, they didn't like the response that Jesus had with the crowd because they wanted the rest that he promised. In fact, it says in verse 35, it says, "And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and the villages so that they can buy themselves something to eat.'" But check this out. Jesus answered them, says, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" So the disciples, what they did is they saw an opportunity here, right? They noticed that it was getting late, that the sun was starting to go down, and so they approached Jesus while he's teaching all of these people, and they say to him, hey, it's getting late. Send them away so that they can go get some food and have a safe place to stay the night. Because they can't stay here, essentially, is what they were getting at. Right? They wanted to rest. They wanted to not be bothered. They wanted the people to leave. But look how Jesus responded to the disciples again. Jesus, in my words, Jesus says, I have a better idea. How about you feed them? You go feed them. You give them something to eat. See, Jesus saw the needs of the people. He saw that they needed to be cared for, and he had compassion on them, and he wanted to meet that need. But the disciples didn't. Right? The disciples wanted to send them away, but Jesus wanted the disciples to feed and to care for the people. He saw their spiritual needs, so he taught them, but he also sees their physical needs and wants his disciples to help meet those needs. Jesus is still showing his compassion in this moment. He's still showing his tender mercy to everyone who was there, including the disciples. Jesus cares about our whole being. He cares about our physical needs. He cares about our spiritual needs. He cares about our emotional needs. And he saw all of these needs and he wanted to meet them, not just one or the other. And he does this because he's a loving and caring and compassionate shepherd king. That's who he is. But like I said, the disciples didn't like this idea. And sometimes Jesus does this to us, right? And we don't necessarily like that idea either. And their frustration with Jesus comes out, and it reveals itself in probably one of the most, if not the most, sarcastic statement in the Bible. The disciples, they look at Jesus, and they look at all the people, and when Jesus says, how about you feed them? They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Do you want us to go into town and buy all this bread for 5,000 plus, which most scholars believe is around 10,000 people? You want us to buy bread for 10,000 people and to feed them? You're funny, Jesus. We don't have that much money, right? The disciples were not only getting, they weren't getting the rest that they thought they were going to get, but now they had more work to do and they were frustrated by it. They were tired. They were probably hangry, right? They needed a Snickers or something, but right? But they also knew that they couldn't afford it. They knew they didn't have 200 denarii worth of money. They knew that they couldn't go into the town and they couldn't provide enough food for 10,000 people. Right, 200 denarii was approximately 8 months worth of wages. 8 months. And so they knew they didn't have this on hand. They also knew that it would be an impossible task to accomplish. Could you imagine 12 guys trying to feed 10,000 people? Right, so they respond to Jesus in frustration and sarcasm, but then Jesus simply looks at them. He says, okay, tell me what you have. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And I love what Jesus does. Jesus looks at this. He looks at the 5 loaves of bread. He looks at the 2 fish. And 2 fish probably weren't huge. You know, they weren't halibut. They were tilapia probably. And he looks at them, he says, that's enough. And he commands the people to sit down in groups of 100 or 50, and he tells his disciples to distribute it. And what an incredible thing. He looks at all of this and he says, that's perfect. That is more than enough. In verse 39, he goes on to say this. It says, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups. And so they sat down in the groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to the heavens and he said a blessing. And he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples to sit before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. See, one of the primary things that it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is that we are to be dependent on Christ for everything. Right? We are to realize that there is no possible way for us to get the impossible done. No possible way, right? Each one of us, we have limited resources. We have limited abilities to make a massive difference on our own. And we can make a difference, but it's limited. But in Christ, and through Jesus Christ, the impossible becomes possible. Jesus takes the little that they do have, right, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplies it to be more than enough. He does the same in our life as well, right? He takes the little that we have, the little that we can offer to him, and he multiplies it, and he provides us with everything that we need. See, when we obey Jesus and we do what we can only do, we can trust that Jesus will do only what he can do. Now, remember, right, the disciples, they're weary, they're tired, they're irritable. And Jesus now tells them, hey, I need you to serve 10,000 people. But take notice what the disciples did do. They did it. Right, they did just as Jesus commanded them to do. They obeyed him. They distributed the food to the people. See, in their obedience, they witnessed one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed. Right, they witnessed the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish that they gave to Jesus continually be multiplied and passed out. They witnessed Jesus multiply the molecular structure, right, of this bread and this fish so that over 10,000 or close to 10,000 people were fed. And Mark tells us they weren't only fed, but that they were satisfied. They were satisfied. And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The disciples witnessed all of this, right? And what started off as a little became more than enough because of Jesus Christ. And what an incredible thing to witness. The disciples, they set out with Jesus on this journey to this desolate place because they wanted a little R&R, right? A little rest and relaxation. They wanted a vacation from their missionary journey, but in the end, what they realized is that only Jesus can truly satisfy. The rest that they needed was simply to find satisfaction in Jesus Christ, not in anything else. The people that were there that day, they were satisfied from the bread and the fish that Jesus fed them, but the disciples were satisfied as well. It says all were satisfied. The disciples realized that with Jesus, everything, he gave them everything that they truly needed. And this realization that Jesus satisfies us with everything is what really and truly gives us rest. See, when we realize that in Jesus we have everything that we will ever need, we will truly be satisfied. But when we look at this miracle, we have to ask, what does this have to do with us, right? How do we relate to this incredible experience? Because I've never seen 2 fish multiplied to feed 10,000 people. I can eat 2 fish myself, just saying, right? So what does this have to do with us? The first thing is we have to realize that God takes delight in including us in his work. Right, God delights in including us in his work. Jesus didn't need the boys' food in order to feed all the people. He didn't. Right, we're talking about the Son of God here. We're talking about God in flesh. He could have created this huge feast with all kinds of food, right, for these people, this massive banquet. But instead, what he does is he takes delight in using this little boy's food to provide food for everyone. Right, he was glorified in the sacrifice that this boy made to offer up all that he had in order to serve those around him. Jesus also didn't need his disciples' help, right? If I would have been in Jesus' shoes, if I would have placed myself and I was living as Jesus, I probably would have looked at those disciples and said, you guys need to go before I smite you, right? You're getting on my nerves. Go get some rest. There's a Holiday Inn down the street, right? I would have sent them away. But Jesus, right, he chose to use them in this miracle. He asked for them to do what only they could do. In return, they were able to bless thousands and thousands of people because of what Jesus could do with them. Which leads us to the second thing we can learn from this. Jesus can use a little in a major way. He can use a little in a major way. Listen, church, if we are honest with ourselves this morning, we can only accomplish so much on our own. Or there's no doubt that we can make a difference. I truly believe that we can. There's no doubt we can have an impact on this city, but we only have so much to give on our own, even as a collective body. But when we trust Jesus and we give him all that we have, all that we can, he will bless it and he will multiply it in major ways for his kingdom and for his glory. See, the truth is that we have nothing to offer others except for what Jesus has already given to us. And so when we see it this way, when we realize that this is the truth, right, when we trust in Jesus, we can use it for his glory. And guess what happens, right? Major things happen. Miracles happen. Revivals break out. People are restored to Jesus. Lives are changed. Marriages are healed and mended. Prisoners are set free. The dead are raised because people come to know Jesus as their Savior and as their King. They go from death to life. And they do this because he is our great shepherd. Right, when we give to others what Jesus has given to us, we are living in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And when we are living in the fullness of Jesus Christ, we are satisfied. We're truly satisfied. And we're satisfied because we trust in the fact that he is enough. We're satisfied because his compassion is overflowing and his provision is satisfying. Amen? So the truth is, Jesus truly is our great shepherd. Jesus truly does give us rest. He truly does show us tender mercy, and he alone provides and he alone satisfies. And when we start living into this truth and we trust Jesus in all of this, we trust Jesus with all of our lives, he multiplies what it is that we're able to give for his glory and his power. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth. God, we thank you that you do a lot with a little, that you do major things. Father, that you multiply what it is that we have to offer so that you can be known, so that you could be made famous, so that people can know you and they can know your tender mercy for them, your compassion. So Jesus, I pray this morning, God, as we're here in this place and we're hearing this word, that we give you what it is that we have to give. God, that we give you our life, that we trust in you and you alone as our Savior and as our King. Father, and that you bring our spirit, that you bring our soul, that you bring our bodies to the fullness of life that you provide as we trust in you. God, I pray that we give you our time, that we give you our talents, that we give you our resources, that we give you what it is that you have freely given to us, trusting that you will multiply it. Father, trusting that you will do major things in this community, that you will do major things in this city, in this region, in this country, and in this world. God, you desire that all men might know you, that all might be saved. So God, this morning I pray that we just play our part, that we do what it is that we can do, trusting that you will take care of the rest. We thank you for your provision. We thank you that you satisfy. So let us find our satisfaction in you and you alone. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.